So, Nicola, you want to go through a little bit about the kind of economic exploits that we discussed?
Absolutely. So what we tried to look at was why certain models were failing, right? And the connection that we wanted to find was metrics and results, right? So, for example, on the stimulus that the protocols were having and on the dynamics if the price were above and below, we found out that, you know, there were solid economic misalignment. What do we mean by that, basically? So very often participants were facing some decision which might benefit one class of agent and really go to the expense of others. So there was a very strong misalignment embedded on the design, right? If you were sort of favoring one side of the equation, you were really penalizing other agents. So we realized that there was a sort of reallocation of risk from some agents to other agents. It's very interesting because you could see that when the price moves or when you can take a decision, when you have to wait or to buy a coupon or when you want to have a target price in mind to sell those assets, you're really seeing a transfer of risk from agents to agents, right? And this was very, very clear with the coupon. And the risk was massive. Why? Because sometimes, I mean, those models don't really allow for the coupons to be redeemed unless the price goes above one for a specific amount of time. And this risk was maybe mispriced in a sense from those agents. So this is what we mean with economic misalignments and risk that is basically transferred from agent to agent. Also, you could see it as a sort of asymmetry as well of the opportunities, right? This was very clear at launch of those protocols in a sense that some agents were really able to amass a lot of tokens very early on the days of the protocols. And of course, they would really influence later on the decision, especially the one that have open and extreme governance, I would say. So a very important factor to consider is who those protocols give the voting power to and how early they give those power and who are those large token holders that are basically hoarding those tokens. So we were mentioning the economic exploits, a little bit of the failures and why we discussed the failures, basically in relation with the sustainability of the incentives, right, and the design. So the issue here was that incentives were not really designed to improve stability. And that was quite a surprise, I believe, right? Like when we were doing the discussion and the recommendation, Lisa and I and all the team that worked at the report, we realized that the decisions of some mechanism weren't really oriented and focused on ensuring and assuring stability. Quite the opposite. There were sometimes create more volatility, which is quite interesting, right? A stable coin needs to be stable in the first place, but some mechanisms were actually exacerbating the volatility. So what is price volatility in a sense, right? It is the movement of the market, is the risk of price movement, is all those sort of negative effects that fall into the agents. So this is extremely important for stablecoin because all we want is them to be zero volatility, right? Or have zero volatility or minimum price. So we realize that inflating the supply or with coupons, you know, the monetary inflation and increase of supply, and in situation where some tokens are less than the pegged value, basically tokens are often burned, okay, and new value is injected into the model to sustain the difference. We realized that Luna does this transaction on the Terra blockchain, which actually brings value to the system, right? So it's an interesting mechanism where you are helping the model and helping the stability through adoption of the system itself, right? And these are a good boost for the demand of the secondary token, Luna. Okay. So what we touched upon is the secondary financial instruments, so the coupon, the bonds, and all those sort of newly devised financial instruments. And we ask ourselves, are those a good deal? The answer, unfortunately, is no. Not because I don't think that rational agents would actually get involved on these secondary tokens if they would really understand risk that they run, right? So I believe that now the protocols have following of new participants or new users and the excitement that comes with that. But we really need much, much more solidity. So on ESD or DSDs, really the incentives of purchasing coupons have been deviating away from when the mechanism was mostly needed, which was on the contraction.